Honestly, I was supposed to do, I mean, the book is called The Power of Emotions, but the guilty one was Dennis, that is not here, so I can blame him. When he started doing the Ernest Holm book, It's All About You. And one of the things I decided, I mean, it's pretty amazing how all that we know is perfectly orchestrated in the same direction. And I mean, different people, different times, different minds, if we can say different minds, let's call it individualized minds, come to absolutely the same truth, the same conviction. And that's pretty amazing. So I decided to change my book to Practice in the Presence. Practice in the Presence is a book that really changed my life completely, because what happened to me is that it really pointed to the true north, which is the true north of your life. And I fought with the book since I knew I was going to, because the language is a little bit old-fashioned. And it's not that that I'm complaining about, but also, I mean, some of the way he tells things, and he uses a lot of scripture. I mean, this is who he is, Joel Goldsmith. But I think this guy, for his time and I mean his upbringing and something, I mean, he did a pretty good job in really understanding. And I think it's because he took the time and the meditation and everything, and there is only one truth that is available to everyone. So, I mean, I fighted that, but I saw good things. I mean, we're doing much of Abraham and everything like that. So one of the sometimes you will hear something funny. Don't pay attention of the funny language. Just pay attention to the real meaning of what he is trying to say. And it is absolutely, and he did it again. It really got me, and I says, how come I can't forget those things? Because what he's really saying is about principles, and principles are unchangeable. You can go and live in your life, I mean, by principles, and then you are not lost ever. It's like a map. I mean, you're so you know what to do. And so I'll start when I took some notes. Then I rewrote the notes and everything like that. Hopefully, I mean, everything is going to be on my glasses. If not, I won't be able to talk about it. See, if I don't have my glasses, I don't talk. No, I'm teasing you. It's very interesting because it says that this. One of the things I want to tell you is that this talk will probably change in it, and this is what this book is about to make, is will change your consciousness. This is for the expansion of your consciousness. Who we are, what are we doing, where are we going, I mean, etc. This is, I mean, what it, his purpose, I think, is. He's talking about, I mean, that sometimes life can be very unsatisfactory, and that, I mean, there are periods of great success, and then, I mean, long periods of nothing is happening in your life, and we get disappointed, and we get sort of like bored, and we don't know anymore what to do, and the thing is he says that we are losing track, and he says that the degree of consciousness depends on our dependence of the external world and the place we are in faith and confidence is often greater than ourselves. That is called, he calls it, the infinite invisible, which I love that term, because it's really, it's infinite and it's invisible. We say that we use God, and we use God, I mean, to ask for rent, health, or housing, or employment, or whatever it is. But we are missing the point that we should only ask for God's grace. And because when you have God, you have everything else you want. One of the most comforting thoughts, he uses a lot of thoughts in order to ground you. And one of the most important for me is that he says God performs the things he has been appointed you to do. And we understand that later. But it doesn't matter what task you have to do. God has appointed you to do that task, and He does the performing. You don't need to worry and stress about it. He will do the performing for you, because if this is happening in your life, it's because God appointed you to do that. So it's not we are. This is where the don't like to use the word ego, but this is where the big ego. We think we can do everything in ourselves, and we can depend on ourselves, and that's not really the truth. The truth is that the life we have is God's life. Every breath that comes is God's breath. And God, we are a perfect expression of God. God individualizes as Peter or as Connie or as David or as Maggie. This is the role that we have. We are children of God, and God has a perfect plan for everyone. And we are, let's call it, doing God's job in this earth. Everybody has a mission or a part to fulfill in that. So when you say, I mean, God performs the things He had appointed me to do, it's pretty easy. There is no job you cannot do. There is a lot of stress in the workplace and everything, because you have to do everything right. How much less stress in it says, God will take care of this, and He will guide me and inspire me to do and say and be exactly as I need to be. It says that God is everywhere, and this is a wonderful thing. How can I flee from you? If I go to the heavens, there you are. And if I go to the bottom of the sea, there you are. And if I love this sentence, if I make my bed in hell, I will find you there. I love that one. The idea that the present goes before me, making crooked spaces straight. That's another very comforting thought. And it says that our sufficiency depends on the infinite invisible. So it's not up to us. I mean, God is taking care of us. It says that the illuminated walk in life without fear. Pondering and meditating, ask for the inner breath, your inner water, your inner wine. Those things that we need, we cannot buy them outside. It comes from inside. So what he's really telling is that the presence of God in our lives, once we get the presence inside, everything that we want and need is already ours, because this is what he says, you and I are one. And it says, everything that the Father has is yours. Everything that you are, I mean, we are, is God. So everything is there, and it comes, this is where it comes. It comes from inside, from that realization. Now, it says that we can say these affirmations until we are blue, and nothing will happen. It's like sitting in a chair in a dark room and saying something like, electricity makes light. And you say again, you can't get blue unless you turn the switch. There is nothing going to happen. But this is until we get in the profound realization that this is what we believe and this is what we are, nothing will change. The good thing is that we don't need to worry of everything that is outside, because if we have God, we have everything else. And so it says that so everything that exists in the outer realm exists as an activity of consciousness. So his principle number one is the kingdom of God is within you. How do we get those things we want? With three steps. One is dwelling on the presence and the power of God. Second is the feeling that God is good, and there is no way around it. It's obvious everywhere. And the three is, once we are in the Spirit and we believe that the Spirit will lead us, then we'll be receptive and responsive to the very still voice inside of us that we can call inspiration. And then we go through from the way of inspiration, but the inspiration of spirit. Very much like Abraham is stating that you get your vibration and alignment. For me, vibration and alignment has always been a confusing kind of word, because they are new words. This is a new talk. But once I felt that this is what vibrational alignment is, just going to the presence, okay, pondering the goodness and the power of God, and state the phrases that you and I are one, and God is everything that I am, and God's life is mine, and there is only one power and one source, okay, then you get the inspiration. And it really made so easy for me to just get, that, and then don't take action before doing that. Because we are too fast. Oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to whatever. And that is not, sometimes it's not the best idea. We think it is, but sometimes it's not. And besides, it's like, I don't know if it's an assurance that everything is going to be okay. I say, well, I meditated and this is what I got. If you didn't give me the real message, give me another one and a louder one, because I really hear it. But I spend the time and it's not the effort, because that's not really it. I think it's the refocusing of the mind and just understanding, what are we doing, where are we going, and who you really are. And there is a feeling there. There is a feeling of compassion, of companionship, I would say protection, but I know that protection doesn't mean anything, because once we are children of God, we don't need any kind of protection. We are safe. So that's pretty amazing. If we ponder into the presence day and night, there is no answer that cannot come. And the right answer that we seek, we will understand the truth under any circumstances. It doesn't matter that things go wrong. If God has a perfect plan for you, if things go wrong, it must be for a wonderful reason that we don't understand yet. And that's what it is. And when we are in a situation where we are, freaking out for something, we know these words that maybe once you really know them, they will be available for you in case of an emergency, what I call them. I live sometimes in state of an emergency, so so I will never leave you. You are whole. The spirit of God, the spirit of joy, the spirit of peace is within me, and it comes across everyone I meet. Says that that's pretty good in the job place sometimes. That sometimes we have co-workers that it's not easy to get along with. But if we believe that God is in the presence, is in every one of them, then what it flows from you is infinite love. It will flow to everyone that you encounter. So he says that the goal in life is to obtain God consciousness and to live more and more in the presence of the eternal awareness of God. This is what I really know about what Abraham calls about the connection. The connection is the connection to Source. But how do you stay connected with Source at all times? Just realizing that presence of God, the presence of this one Source and everything, and being connected. Everything else that is not in that center will disappear. It doesn't matter if we are struggling for any of the reasons that we have. Once you refocus your mind and you find your true north, then everything else really loses much of the importance. Maybe we have to rethink again in the next 3 minutes or in the next 5 minutes. Or maybe you live in the present the whole day and then you put the news on and guess what? You forget everything that you said. It doesn't matter. You come back to the present and you stay connected into the present. Interesting thing he said, and I think it's one of the things I really like, is he says, when I realized that my mind, and this mind, the big M mind, was also present in Jesus Christ, it will grant us a real spiritual wisdom, because we have access to do that. So it's pretty amazing. There is no another mind. Jesus was not different than us. It was just a matter of how much he trusted this, and how much he had faith in the presence. Compared to that, I mean, sometimes I say, there's no way. I mean, my faith is in another dimension, because he really trusted everything that the Father was he and the Father were doing. I mean, on his own. So he says that it's not up to God to give us things. The things that we need, housing, employment, supply, transportation, whatever it is, they are not part of the realm of spirituality. And it's true. These are the consequences of going in. See, once you get God and everything that it is, you don't have to worry about everything else, because God will take care of everything else. It says that, and this is what it sounds funny, but it's really the truth. In this infinite cost and everything like that, he is not worried about employment for an individual. But what happens is that the presence of God is so good, and the Father is willing, able and willing to give you everything. He knows we need those things. But we lose time and energy asking for those things, instead of asking for the presence of God and for God, and only that, I mean, it says thy grace, I mean, only the grace of God. And it really makes my life very simple. I know if I'm connected to Source, and I know and I'm living in the presence of God, that God, and trusting that and have confidence that the presence of God will make everything right in my life. It makes sense. It really, it's like you cannot be divided. Sometimes we ask God for things, and then sometimes we ask for more consciousness or more wisdom or something. But then when really the emergency comes, then we say, oh, please give me, a better housing and everything. I know we do those things. But what I'm going through is that if we want to grow in spirituality, we need to realize that the presence of God and the God's favor is upon us. Then everything will be granted to us in the perfect plan for each one. And that really, to me, that's a very comforting thought, because sometimes you know that the manifestation is not there yet. And sometimes you say, well, I have asked for these things for so many years and it's not there yet. So Abraham says that, I mean, you go back. I mean, and you go back to Yuma. I mean, that's the way. I mean, it says that you go back. But if you trust that everything will come to you in a perfect timing, it would get that sense of urgency or I mean, this sense of fear that I have asked, but I'm not there yet. And I think it's one of the tools that I mean, for me, is one of the most comforting tools. That knowing that I'm doing everything that I want to do, and knowing that the presence and the power of God will give me everything that I want, I say, that's fine. I continue my journey. I know that it will happen. So, it even says something, I mean, more scandalous or more, I mean, freaking out, that it says that if we continue asking for the things we need, we have not get the true nature of God. God has nothing to give, because everything that God is, we already are. And everything that God has is already ours. Now, to me, the challenge is to really believe the second statement. And sometimes we're not there yet. But if we really believe that everything that God is, we are, then we can really focus on just getting more God, more consciousness of God. And if we believe that everything that God has is already ours, we shouldn't be freaking out. But we forget, or we whatever. That's why even this second time, it really, I mean, this book, it really, really makes me, I mean, this is what you need to go. And so it says that the principle is that the nature of God is fulfillment. That God is eternally fulfilling itself. If we are children of God, the nature of God inside of us is fulfillment. No way around it. Okay? And it explains to this like, it's like we are asking the sun and praying the sun for more light or more heat. This is not the real thing. The sun is. We never asked anything else. The sun is, and you know that it's warm and has light, period. So if we can come to the same conclusion about that, that the nature of God is fulfilling and his plan is to fulfill my life, because God is expressing as Peter's life or as Connie's life or as Stephanie's life. So God's job is you to fulfill yourself in everything you need. No way around it if we let him. That's the problem, if we let him. But anyhow, I think it's a matter of faith. It's talking about, I mean, the infinite nature of our individual being, and it says the secret of life is that we are one. That oneness is a state of being. That there is not such a thing as a God and man. And tells a little story that is pretty funny. It says that this is this Buddhist monk that decides to go to heaven and knocks in the door. And a voice asks him and says, "Who is this?" And he says, "I am." And no, go in and figure this out. This cannot be. And then, I mean, he goes back to there, then, I mean, meditates for 10 years, and then he comes back again and knocks on the door and says, "Who is this?" And he says, "It's I." And the boss says, "Go back to the earth and meditate some more. You don't have the answer." So he goes back again, and the third time he goes back again, and when he knocks the door, he says, "Who is this? You." And then the door opens and says, "There is no space. The heaven is very full. There is no space for you and me. It is only you. It is only God." So once we make the difference between that, see, the thing is, we have to believe these things in order to understand it. But if I think it's a process, and we are doing it a little bit more, I have something to tell you. This is a embarrassing thing. The other day, I was preparing for the talk, and I was distracted. I usually wear my in my car. I wear the cruise control because I have had several experiences with policemen, and it's tricky because in Manassas there are little streets that there are 15. Okay, so one day I was coming there, and I mean, there is a big curve, and I was saying goodbye to one of my children that I know there, that I have given therapy and everything to them. And the police stopped me and he says, "You were going 35. And he says, "It cannot be. I mean, this is a hard thing. I mean, a car curve, and I'm waiting to these children. But how can you, disagree with a police when he has his shot?" And I says, "Well, never mind." So I decided I was going to court. Just because I wanted to go to driver's license, because I drive so many miles daily that I cannot afford to have one of the tickets. So I got a very not lenient judge. That he says, "No, I won't do that." And then I had to pay the cost of the court, the $200 speed ticket that is 15, so it almost was a $580 or something for the speeding ticket. Okay, so the other day I was talking to one of my moms, and I mean, the kid has just been, I mean, had to go be sent to GDC. She was very anguished, and I was with my cruise control, and of course, but I went to stop. I'm talking to the mom in the cell phone, and of course, I didn't put my. And this is a little street that goes from West Ox and then go to Fairfax County Parkway. And it's huge. It's three lanes. I mean, there's nobody there. So, I mean, I didn't know. And the police, and he says, you know what? You were doing 56. Like, how could I be? And he says, this is a 35, so you have 21 over miles in that speed. So, I mean, speed, how is it? Reckless driving? I said, well, cannot be. And so the only thing I mean, what I was going to do. So I said, God, I cannot afford to do this. I mean, it's not that I mean, to pay the fine, but I cannot afford to have that in my driving record because I really use the car for working. So I said, please, God, I don't know what you're going to do, but if I'm really a child of God, something must happen. I don't know what, but something must happen. And I just went inside, sat in the presence, not saying anything, and I just said, I'm going to go to the infinite invisible. That's what I wanted to do, disappear into the infinite invisible. Well, the police comes and says, well, you know what? Because he asked me what I was doing, and I told him about it. I was talking to the mom, and the mother was very anguished, and I was a counselor, and I work a lot with Hispanic families and everything. He comes with a little paper and says, well, you know what? I decided I was not going to put you any, reckless driver or anything. I'm just giving you a $30 ticket because you didn't obey the rules of the road. I said, well, because one of the things that I heard somebody saying is that if you don't really believe, just try me. And I did try him. So it is a miracle, I have to tell you, because, I mean, to me, it's a complete miracle. So that's one of the things that, I mean, if we don't really believe of what we are hearing, it's difficult, I know, but maybe try God. Let's see what happens. And so if we believe that we are the externalized form of God, says that God is our selfhood, and this only selfhood, with a capital S, is neither rich or poor, or sick or well, or young or old, or live or death. It is a state of immortality, an eternal being, unchanging, but nevertheless infinite in its forms and appearances. And I think this is great. If we are eternal beings, we have the same thing. We are immortal eternal being, unchanging the inside, okay? But the form changes, and our circumstances change, and I mean, you, as the years go by, things change. But basically unchanging in the inside. And so if God is the infinite consciousness, God is our mind and our consciousness. And it is from this consciousness that the issues from life come: activity of supply, health, harmony, wholeness, etc. And it comes also from the realization in meditation that you say, I am, and I am one with God. And it's not this selfish that I am Bill or I am whatever. This is the form, but the real part in it, it comes from us that you and I are one. Then it goes in chapter number 4 to talk about our neighbor. And that is a topic. And that's one of the things, I mean, that it really healed my life, because it says, how can you love God that you don't see, and you can hate your brother that you see? That you're a liar. If we believe that God is in every one of us, then we believe that nobody can harm us, nobody can hurt us. Because if God is ourself and our selfhood, God is the life and the spirit and the activity of my life. And it says something that what it really harms us is not what happened in the outside, what goes to the inside and what the inside goes into the outside. So if we are hurting, it's because we this comes from us to the outside. And that is the problem. Once we are able to solve that, if we believe in the principle that nobody can harm us or hurt us, okay, whatever it comes from us to the outside is going to be completely different. It comes as forgiveness, as understanding, as compassion, as empathy. But it is up to us what we do inside. You know, some people that come, something happened in their life, and I don't know, me counted one of them, so 30 years later you say, oh, it's because it happened to me. But then, you lost how many years of this not accepting, not understanding, and not getting the point of really this is how things are. And I think it's sanity. I honestly think these principles are sanity. Because then you remain unattached of what happens in the inside, because the inner part of yourself is untouchable. Nobody can do that. So that's pretty interesting. And it says that we are not to judge anybody. If we are holding anyone in condemnation as a human being, we are not ready for the communion with the infinite. And that is true. It's like a completely vibrational, difference. Now listen to this one. It says one of the worst things that can happen is that you are bearing a false witness against your brother. Everything we declare that our brother is finite and has failings and is poor or sick or sinful, or other than being a son of God, I will bring into my own selfhood. So this is not funny. We need to do this in order, to really, because this is what it is. This is a real, whole, complete son of God. And maybe, what we see is not exactly, but that's the appearances. The appearances is that what is the truth of this human being. And then, we bring that. And then, it says that to love your brother means knowing the truth. That you know that is which is him, that is God's power, and what is not in him, and maybe you are hurting or that is not from God's power. In spirituality, oneness means finding peace with each other. That we are having the same life. That life is animates our souls. We're living in the same love and the same joy and the same desire for God. The principle of this chapter is that there is only one spirit, one God. There is no separateness between you and me. Now, chapter number 4, it says about that every time we desire something, and I think you're going to like, even people, it says that everything we desire something and we think that we need something, we just acknowledge our lack. And if we are acknowledging our lack, the only thing we are going to demonstrate is more lack. That if we want to do, because I love this book because it gives you the recipe. If you really believe that you are the center of God, through God operates, then you have to go to the recognition of half. And so, if we want to demonstrate half, then we have to declare fulfillment. Or declare everything that we have. And it even says, make list of what you have. Your clothing, your whatever, whatever makes you feel that. And of course, it's talking about tithing and philanthropy and everything like that. And if you see, very rich people are able to do, those kind of philanthropy, and guess what? I mean, because they have such consciousness that they have enough, and they have a lot, and everything like that, you get money. Wow, pretty interesting. So I love that one. The principle of abundance is, to the one that has, more shall be given. And the other part of that one is that I don't like, and the one that didn't have, that too will be taken. I finally got it. 60 years later, I finally got that one. I mean, that's why it says, that, I mean, when you have it, that will be taken. And I says, what an injustice. I thought God was just. I mean, he has little and he's taken away, and it's the truth. So it was pretty amazing. And I'm going to finish up with says that the only way to acknowledge the presence of God is through meditation. And it says, it's very clear, he says, this is an individual experience. When you go and find the presence of God, there is nobody who can tell you how. He says that he doesn't like to do any statements, and that's what I'm going to do after the break. Just sit in the quietness and find it. And then, I mean, once you find it in your soul, then you can open your heart and have the feelings, because we are that. I mean, we can acknowledge something intellectually, but that always moves into the power of the emotions right here. And just to finish the talk, I wanted to do the power of emotions. And one of the things I decided to do this one first is because, and I'm glad I did, because what Abraham tells us about the power of emotion is like an emotional scale. Well, to me, is this presence, going into the presence, is a quantum leap. You don't need to go from depression to anger, to anger, to frustration, to everything. To me, it was, I mean, whacking the head, and I mean, I said, I get it, okay. Because once you're in the presence, I mean, probably those steps, I mean, you don't need, it's like really going in into the consciousness and getting, what is this really about? Because we all freak for the same things. Have you noticed? I mean, I don't know, we're anguish about money or relationships or health or whatever it is. I mean, there's about these five things that human beings freak about. That's the only thing. I mean, or housing or whatever it is. The same human things. But to me, it's redirecting our mind to the real truth of who we are. And I think that's, to me, I mean, it's pretty amazing that you can regain sanity pretty quickly. And thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much.